time when dragons ruled the sky. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm John. I'm the Dungeon Master for Do or Dice Podcast. Yes, we're going to do it again. I'm going to go starting with... right, we haven't done with new characters yet. Oh, Jordan, we're going to go with you.
You want to start with me?
Yeah.
My name is Jordan. I play...
Who do you play?
I play Jensen on the Do or Dice Podcast.
What? You have still haven't been here for how many round tables?
Like all but one.
The other new character, we're going to go ahead and go to Trent.
Hey guys, I'm Trent and I play Helen in Do or Dice Podcast.
Hello everyone, I'm Ben and I play Bo in Do or Dice.
I start freaking out seeing where the line is between you and Bo.
It's weird, isn't it? Sometimes I forget.
Corey!
I'm Corey and I play Goshen in Do or Dice Podcast.
And Kyle, after you just take a big swig.
Oh yeah, thanks. I'm Kyle. I play Ordok in the Do or Dice Podcast, a D&D podcast. Oh wait, sorry. It's Do or Dice,
Do
a
or
D&D
Dice,
podcast.
A D&D podcast. Yeah.
I still play Ordok.
Yeah.
Me and Goshen over here.
We're doing it. We're rocking it, man.
Oh jeez.
So thank you all for coming. This is, if anyone's keeping score, this is roundtable number 7. This is our first one in the new season, or new arc, arc 2. It's going to mainly be going from episodes 1 to 13. We're going to skip a few here and there, just to get kind of big points.
All the fucking boring ones.
Well, yeah, mostly many of those involve Helen, so.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I love you, Trent.
Fuck off. Do your job, read the script.
Go ahead and throw it to you, Kyle.
Oh, aren't you going to talk about our live studio audience?
This is recorded in front of a live studio audience, and then it is played back for our fantastic people on Patreon.
Twitch, so keep an eye out on our socials for when we announce the next one. And come hang out.
We went and spammed everything on Twitter, Twitch, whatnot.
Or join Discord, because we talk about it all the time on there. Even though it's been like 8 months since we've done one.
It's been 3, actually, since we actually had a round table.
Also where we get a majority, about 99.9% of our round table questions from, that we will get to later in this broadcast.
Mm. Cool.
Now you're picking it up to me?
Now I'm picking it up to you.
Okay.
Pass the ball.
So I just wanted to say thanks to our sponsors, Kickstarter. They have supported us from the beginning and have recently actually just run a huge Kickstarter where they tripled what they were hoping for to be able to release some pretty cool ancient dragon dice. So as always, we thank them for the support to help continue us going. And of course, all of our patrons, which also just completely make the show better and keep tweaking everything as we keep going. So thanks and shout out.
Isn't that easy, roll the dice?
Can we just fix something with Patreon money?
Right? Yeah,
it is.
See, I could have done that.
Oh,
a big thank you to the people that we're not going to mention.
Easy Roller Dice, which did a Kickstarter.
Yeah,
Easy Roller Dice is releasing the Ancient Dragon series.
We did just do a giveaway with them for their, you know, basically, you know, a limited run, like pre-production.
That was basically awesome.
Giveaway and it went. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We really helped them with their Kickstarter. They helped us with some stuff, and we ended up having like over 1,000 submissions and 3 winners that got some amazing.
Not me.
Dice, actually.
No,
these dice bundles, and I actually just mailed out the actual dice, but cool like dice bags, and a whole massive drawer of other merch that we just Love to give out.
You're way too good at giving out merch. No. If it was me, I would just keep that whole draw to myself and be like, yeah, I'll be sending them out next week.
I have to keep the drawer shut, shut and locked, because if not, I'll just like get it out and use it. That brings us into the other actual sponsor of this broadcast and kind of the roundtable in general, and that's our Patreon patrons. We want to give them a huge shout out. They help us produce the show, and you know they go that extra mile to make sure that the show is better for everybody else. And so we want to thank all of them, all the new ones that joined us this month. You guys are great, and just kind of let you know that, you know, without you guys, this show would be infinitely more hard to do. And we really appreciate what you do for.
Didn't we just buy some equipment with some of the Patreon money as well?
That's what I was going to say. We just fixed something, right?
Yeah, Jordan just got an upgrade.
Got me a nice pop filter in this mic arm that holds my mic up nice close to my face.
See, I could have done all of this, Trent. I'm good.
And then talk some more about it.
You're lovely.
Spread some love.
Slagrippers and Jordan's game. Jordan, what's the name of your game?
We didn't really name it. We just kept calling it the Pirate Game.
The first episode is out already. It's called The Bearded Mermaid. I'm working on name of our ship.
We named it after the ship.
I'm working on the second and third episodes, which will come out by hopefully the second episode tomorrow, and then the third episode I'm shooting for Wednesday. So you're gonna get a double feature along with the video upload of this broadcast up on Patreon. So over on the Patreon we have monthly bonus content at different tiers. We have a lot of good giveaways with our merch shop, and we're working on some new designs. Ben, wink wink, to get some new artwork in there for some cool new merch. So all of that and more is on our Patreon. We have it linked below and or on our website, Discord, on our Twitter, everywhere. So just go check
that
out.
You know, rumbles that we're going to be recording some more bonus content soon as well, like some more of the Pirate Game and the Slag Rippers and stuff.
Yeah, not next weekend, but the weekend after, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so two weeks from today, we're gonna do like a big sit down and binge. We got not only the one shots, but a couple other projects that like Corey and Kyle and myself have kind of come up with. So we're working on a lot of different stuff. It's not just one shots and, you know, extra game content. It's gonna be a lot of different cool stuff for later on down the future. So
Captain Mary's.
I've got one thing to throw in if I could.
Yeah.
Also we are in the process of redoing our website. So if there's anything that's any information or like things as you're listening that you hear that you need a reference to or like want to be able to find easier, just send us a message and we will be sure to get that included in the new layout, and hopefully we'll get that rolled out pretty soon. So if there's something that you want to see or have quick access to, let us know.
Kyle's nudes.
Yeah. Kyle's working on that. Yeah. There you go.
No?
So I guess we'll move on to kind of the meat and potatoes of all this and into the episode talk. So
we're going to be just grouping a couple of these together. I figure the first one is, you know, the first of the season, welcoming committee. How was it, guys, for the first, recording the first episode of season arc 2?
I really liked when we met Jensen and Helen. I really liked the whole interaction with Jensen and Helen not really kind of telling us what they were or who they were or what they wanted in a really bad way.
Just the way you
sort of like, then you had like Kyle kind of like Ordok sort of it was really obvious how you were kind of both playing a game with each other, and it was just like, who was gonna just go, do you know what, fuck this, and just give it up first. I enjoyed watching that, because I didn't really say much, but I enjoyed watching you guys play through that. That was quite fun.
I think it's fun playing with the idea of like going back to somewhere that you like lived in, that you used to live in, and things happened there that you don't know like the ramifications of, and so I think it's almost like nerve-wracking. I want to explore more, but I also want to like be sure that I'm tiptoeing where I need to tiptoe. So I don't know. I think it's fun. It's a change of pace, going from being alone in the woods with your thoughts to being surrounded by people and everything that brings, like killing guards.
Bad. I think just in general, I really like the setting, because like one. The first kind of introduction to D&D was Neverwinter, like any sort of D&D was Neverwinter Nights on the PC, like way, way, way back. So that whole kind of idea, like, you know, the city of Neverwinter. So I know Ironclad's not Neverwinter, but it's like the city, like urban environment. And
it's better.
And also I quite like the whole kind of the dystopian sort of fantasy city archetype of it, where, you know, everything's kind of urban and dark and dingy and a bit kind of like dangerous, but quite exciting as well at the same time. I think there's a lot of options as well. Like Carl said, like when you're in the woods, that's all nice and it's very high fantasy and it plays well to that aspect of it. But there's a lot of, it's quite compact. Whereas when you're in a city, really, it's like anything that you can think of buying, you can probably find somewhere, like a black market, or, you know, you go to the docks and you go and trade with like a trader from a different continent and things like that. So it really opens up like the possibilities to just twat about quite a lot, which I really like.
And we get to make John name like so many people.
Oh yeah.
So like, my favorite question is, how old are they? You know, what's their job?
How many children do they have?
I've made tables. I have so many tables now.
My favorite part from early in the season was when John would make an NPC interact with us, and then we'd go, "What's your name?" And he goes, "Fuck!" And you could just see the realization come over his face. Like, I did this to myself. I didn't have to make this NPC talk to them.
We ended up cutting a lot of it out, but pretty much any time where an introduction of an NPC was, it was, "You guys fucking suck." Oh, you know, a 2 or 3 minute struggle.
I think my favorite one was when Team Boshin went to the cemetery and I wanted to know the names of all the dead people in there.
Just named off you guys.
Sad face. Too soon.
I feel like you guys kind of got... I'm sorry, I'm just reading the next episode title. I was going to skip this one, but yeah, no, a lot of shit happened in Bizarre Dumplings.
Oh, yeah.
Bo,
I was really disappointed that you wouldn't let me get his power.
I was so bad that he's not how any of this works.
Can't you give Bo a break?
You know, maybe if he was a sorcerer.
Maybe he's had level in wizard, eh, John?
He had magic in his blood.
Eh?
Yes, conversations have already been had about when the group gets to the next level.
Fun stuff.
If.
It'll be real fun stuff.
If we get to the next level.
Yeah, it's true.
Without true.
A day one.
I mean,
I don't know.
Right, yeah. You guys went shopping again. Goshen got some awesome looking robes.
Indeed.
And then the party met up with Dagger and the Syndicate at Lush. That was a very interesting exchange, especially that Ordok really has no idea what the hell Lush is.
Yeah, that was fun to play.
What do you guys think of Dagger and the Syndicate in general?
I think it's a really cool organization.
The idea of it and stuff.
It's a cool idea, but we don't really know much about it yet, it's right? Interesting. It's like, and to be honest, both. Yeah. It's quite frustrating to play because I am more interested in it than Bo, because Bo probably doesn't really understand that kind of thing. Like the whole idea of like some kind of underground organization is way over his head. So I can't even ask questions about it. But like, so I'm just basically blindly following along. But in the back of my head, I'm like, why? Who are you?
Yeah, and I have a similar reaction. Like, I can't let Ordok know too much about what's happening, because otherwise, it's just gonna, like, what's he gonna do? So I have to play it a little bit uninterested. And, like, luckily, I made some shitty rolls. And so, just by the nature of the rolls, I was a little unprepared for, like, what was happening. Mm. So that helped.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just a means to an end.
Actually, I agree.
Especially with Bo and Goshen giving up a little drop of blood.
Do you know what? Was that the episode that I made the poison?
Is it? Yeah. Well, it was when Close. You signed the contract.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, no. Blood. I thought you meant the blood when I made the pentagram on the floor.
No.
Because, you know, that obviously didn't pan out, but because I realized that I didn't have I couldn't summon. But Ordok was so going down. She was saved by the rule set, Ordok. But I can kind of dish what I was going to, like, planning up in my head now. Was when you took the ashes, my plan was to paralyze you in your sleep and drag you out of bed and cut you up and use you as a sacrifice. Cut you up while you're paralyzed and draw a pentagram out of your blood. But then I found out from John that I wouldn't have been able to do that. Yeah, so basically I wanted to check with John because I knew it was going to really irrevocably damage like the relationship there. So I was like, if there's no chance that I can summon anything with this, I won't do it.
Maybe.
If you try to murder my character.
So and John said like
yeah, I think
and then
that
John said no, you need a level in wizard. So,
so
I think I've moved on now. I've got over the edges, so it's fine. But the level in wizard is still brewing.
Man, Jesus.
Yeah.
So when do paladins get immunity to poisons?
Depends when you want it. Then we got into some different party dynamics. You guys made the deal for the surgery and for helping, you know, treat Talmor's wounds as long as you guys did some work. So the first thing the next day was to get Ordok over to Bullen's for the surgery the next morning. And as always, Bo went his own way. Goshen followed. And Jensen, for some ungodly reason, was the voice of reason. And you guys you guys wind up outside of the Arcanum.
That whole exchange was it was like fun to like listen to as we were playing it, but going back through and like cutting it together and really like the amount of like pauses of like when someone says something and then it was just like there's that tension of like what's gonna happen next, because you started pitting characters and players against each other. Well, not you, but like, you know, the actions. Everybody was just like, it was a really just like editing it. It was just like, it was, you could feel the tension and like trying to keep that. It was really fun.
That was a fun episode. I liked that part.
I wanted to throw that dart back at Bo's neck so bad.
That would have been hilarious. But instead, Bo became a goat, got caught by the guards.
Told you I was getting in that tower. Themselves morning.
Yeah, he didn't lie about that.
It kind of works out, though.
I think my favorite part of that whole thing was just like, oh, and then it's a school, so it opened the next morning.
the very last bit there where it was just like, that's open.
I like the fact that none of us thought to ask. It was like, you know, okay, just to walk in the next day or whatever. So everyone's just trying to break in when we totally didn't need to.
And we had Ordox surgery.
Yeah.
Lost a little more leg than you anticipated.
He lost a little less leg than I anticipated.
Yeah, it's fine. I can like kick through things now, so it's good.
Like all of that's like well and good, but I really need to bring up the fact that he has a 13-inch dick. Like that's the biggest part of that episode, right? Like everybody agrees.
Everybody agrees.
Ordok's massive donger was the best part of that episode.
It's canon now. You heard it here.
13-inch man, that's crazy. Anyway.
You met someone from your past, Ordok.
Yes. I enjoyed that a lot, just because it's a time to really just, like, from like, a player standpoint, it's just time to, like, improv and play around with a little bit of your background. And I think it all went fairly well. I think that's, like, from an audience perspective, I hope it all went pretty well, that you understand that there's a connection and, like, more of a story there, which I am sure that John will pry from my cold dead hands. But we'll figure that out later.
You used to be sweet on her, didn't you?
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah, sure.
Then we get into the school opening the next day. Jensen and Gershon had some fun in a rope shop.
Oh, yeah.
The monks went a monking.
Oh yeah, that was before we knew it was open to the public, though we had to sneak in.
Mm-hmm. Monkey business.
Bo met the tower guardian, the librarian.
Yeah, that was horrifying.
What's horrifying about a powerful 13-year-old little girl?
Oh, not that. Yeah. Just all the whole like
conversation.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. There were a few conversations. Goshen staff.
Yeah, that'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
At least it's a good line deity. Let's talk about Satan up there.
You're turning into a god.
Oh, yeah, of course, because you had the following as well, the weird banana people that were following you around.
Yeah.
The banana worshippers. Yeah. I'm sure that'll turn out fine, too.
Bo and Gordon.
Oh, Shubby.
My God, yeah.
That's last word.
Yes, Shubby.
I want that book. I need that book desperately. You know, I think my favorite thing at that episode was when I said, can I try and read that door frame? And you were like, yeah, you can try. And then I rolled like a crit 20.
You can.
It's like, son of a bitch. Everything just made sense in one moment. You guys learned a lot in that expedition dump.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Quite a bit about Jerry's past also got revealed.
Everything, by the way, about the whole storyline became revealed. Man.
Yeah, you think so, don't you?
Had a beautiful mind moment, and I solved the puzzle. I did it.
You think you solved the puzzle?
Yeah, you can keep thinking that.
Well, I knew more than you guys did, so that's what
it is. You didn't know more than I did.
Doesn't matter. Jerry's dead.
Bo and Helen have to go run some errands.
Yeah.
To the Whispering Ghost.
What's the Whispering Ghost? Which one? Where was that? Oh, okay.
That's
where
the black market. You guys went downstairs. Yeah, the top floor was the bar. And then below it was the black market. Everybody who works there
looks to
be
cool.
The same guy.
I like that. I didn't like the fact that Helen is sabotaging my black market deals.
Out of all the things
not,
that you've
sabotaged. We're not quite there yet.
Wait, has that been released yet?
Is it
no,
not?
That part has not.
Forget that.
Oh,
yeah, that was our last recording session. So yeah.
It's been a really long time since
hey,
like we
because
for us we only played like two sessions, but we played quite long sessions, but they spanned like 6 weeks or something, like of just kind of steady exposition. It's been quite a slog, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
going that way. Because for us it's easy to forget where we are in that space because so much stuff came out, but it all came out in like 2 days, right?
Yeah,
and then it all links back in and on itself, so it's hard to remember like wait, was that last bit of that recording session or the first bit of the other one?
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out where. Yeah, and then the team gets kind of inebriated and we kind of end that episode 13 on
Drunken Adventure.
Yeah, Goshen going to find a new lady friend.
Oh yeah, that happened.
Lady friend.
I 100% agree with everything that Helen says. If only he just wasn't such a dick about it, and we could finally move on.
All I'm saying is there's something wrong about that situation, but no one wants to believe me because I'm bad, Helen.
Well, I want to believe you. You're just an ass.
Yeah. And Goshen was also drunk and horny, so he didn't give a shit what anyone had to say. So,
so that kind of wraps up quickly the main points of the first 13 episodes. Oh, also the main deal, the first of a couple of jobs the Syndicate has hired the group for is to explore the sewers and find out what's been taken.
We know.
Can I tell him?
No.
We just out like an hour ago.
No.
It's really
I know
so,
nothing.
Spoiler, but I can't.
Something is definitely taking people.
It was me the whole time. Plot twist.
It was Jared.
I'm the bad guy. I'm eventually going to be the bad guy.
What do you mean eventually?
Paul could possibly become the bad guy. So it's been an interesting 13 episodes.
Yeah, it
has indeed.
Yes, it has.
So I'm going to throw this ball to Corey.
Calling me shocked. Yeah, I know, Dismal. Shocker, isn't it? News at 11.
I'm an evil person. So.
Huh?
Was there any part in the first 13 episodes that you guys found like incredibly shocking or stuck out to you as players? I'm kind of curious. This is a me question.
When the offhand joke about some banana wielding. Cultist like became like an actual like heavy story point, like that was kind of shocking.
Yeah, that's fair. It's very fair. Me too.
I mean, character wise I think a lot came out quite a few people, so
I'm really interested to see the stuff with Ordok in the church actually.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I think the only bad thing about it all with me was that because when we play, I'm Bo and I'm just sort of going along with it regardless because I don't really know you guys too well and I'm just sort of like things are happening, and Bo's just kind of going along because he's kind of homeless at this point, because he's followed you to the point where he probably can't find his way back. I've sort of taken on, like, adopted that mindset as well. So stuff comes out and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know.
Why not? Throw it in.
I think the, like, dynamic, especially between Helen and Ordok, is pretty interesting because in a lot of ways they're very similar people. It's just that Ordok thinks that everything he does is the right thing to do. And Helen is like, no, fuck it, let's live with the chaos. So I think that is an interesting dynamic, just because we end up butting heads a lot because we're both about to go do the same thing, but he's going to do it for the bad reason, and I'm going to do it for the, like, noble, quote-unquote, reason.
We have such different approaches to the same solution, or the same problem, you know, with the same solution, coming from basically the same, you know, backgrounds and kind of upbringing and mindset, but just went about it two very different ways. And it's, I really enjoy playing off of Ordok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a mirror. It's like if had Ordok not left the city, he'd probably be Helen.
Right.
It's just like an interesting swap. That's always fun.
Ismael has a good point that you two would argue about how to crack a nut.
Yeah.
Yep.
Obviously with a karate chop.
Of course. I agree. No argument required. We don't have any Patreon questions at the moment, but we should open the floor to more Patreon questions. If you guys want, you can go over to the Discord. There's a Patreon-only channel. I'll be watching that while Jordan runs through the roundtable questions that were posted by everyone. So I'll keep an eye on that, and if you have anything, throw it in the Twitch chat or over there. I'll watch out for it.
All right. The first question we have here is the unfair question.
It's the big one.
It's the big. This is the one that will divide friendships here. He's asking us to choose between Helen and Talmor, Jensen and Jerry, or Bo and him. I guess just who'd you guys like overall more than the other?
Should the players answer, or should it be up to everyone else?
I think
everyone should answer.
Everybody should answer, but the players, you know, who do you guys like more, Helen or Talmor, and then I'll answer last.
Are we answering in character or like personally?
And in the chat. I don't know. Both.
Yeah. However you want.
Yeah. In the chat, you can throw your answer in there too if you like. So I want to know John, Helen or Talmor?
Helen or Talmor? Oh, hell. I guess I think I like Helen more. Because I, as much as I love Talmor's backstory and where that was going, I think Helen is... I could see it going a different direction.
All right. What about Jordan or Jensen? Come on now. Keep it going.
you mean Jerry or Jensen?
They're the same person.
Yeah, Jordan.
Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck Jordan.
Classic.
I miss Jerry.
Yeah.
Because I had so many side arcs meant for Jerry. That went the way of the dodo. But Jensen is definitely the backstory that I know. I can definitely tie that in quite a bit to not only Goshen, but the story as a whole going forward. And Bo or Nim, Bo scares the shit out of me. So yeah, Bo.
Who wants to go next?
Corey, go for it.
Oh, cool. I shouldn't have spoke. So I'll go with Ben's characters first because it's kind of easier for me. I like Bo better because I feel like I didn't have a whole lot of character interaction with Nim, and he just wasn't around as long, so I just feel like I'm more.
Yeah, Nim died quite quickly, didn't he, really?
I think like the first like 11 episodes or something like that.
So I feel like there's just more about Bo, like I know more about him, and by virtue of that, I'm kind of more attached to him. Plus, he's like the ultimate evil, and I'm really interested to see how that plays out. As for Jordan or Jerry or Jensen, I think I prefer Jensen for the completely unfair reason that, like you said, he's a monk, I'm a monk.
Just monk bros.
Martial art friends. Yeah,
monk bias. Bros.
And the whole backstory thing, like coming from similar temples in the Southern Kingdom, it's kind of interesting. So I like that. Talmor or Helen? I feel like Helen's a more dynamic character, but I think overall I probably prefer Talmor. If for no other reason than before you got your arms blown off, I was planning on using you to learn Barbarian and get a couple class ranks in that. But I think I preferred Talmor. He was kind of interesting. He was like the lovable psychopath, and I like that archetype, so...
I'll go, because I don't have a character in this. So, I think between Bo and Nim, I would also have to go with Bo, because we've just had more time with Bo at this point. Nim just went out pretty fast. There wasn't as much development. And Bo just keeps, like, no matter what we're doing, ever, no matter what the situation is, we could be, like, drinking at the bar, or like in a dungeon getting her asses beat, and like Bo does something and the entire party just is like, what? What? And there's just like silence for at least 20 seconds as we just process what he just said. And that's always pretty interesting. It's fun to like to play that and just like you see him do something horrific and you're like, well, this is my friend, so and between Jensen and Jerry, I've got to go Jerry. Come on. I love Jerry. I want Jerry back.
Jerry would love the library.
Yeah.
Hashtag I think bring that, Jerry back.
I think that there's so much that was going to happen with him that would have been a really cool progression of the story. But, like, monk bros are cool. And between Helen and Talmor, I like Helen better. Talmor was always like he was the grenade of the situation. And naturally that was always like, I'm trying to do something, or like someone's trying to do something, and Talmor's just like, ah, fuck it, let's just do this. We'll see what happens. And so I think that there's more of a, there can be more of a dynamic, with Helen, because even though he's kind of an ass, at least he like slows down sometimes and can think things through. I will say I will be interested if we get back to Talmor to see how his personality has changed now that he has had like this horrific thing happen that he probably knows that he did. That will be an interesting switch in his psyche to see like how that would play out. I think that could be fun.
Yeah, I have to agree. Just on the Bo or Nim, it's a clear winner. Like, I love Nim. Talmor was like scarily attracted to Nim for like really weird reasons. But Bo, just knowing like kind of talking with Ben, just knowing where Bo's going. I can't fucking wait. And it's gonna be good. Jerry or Jensen, like, I love Jensen and the dynamic he has with Helen, but Jerry would better character just by, like Kyle said, what could have happened if things didn't go the way they did. And then Helen or Talmor, that's a hard one, because I liked playing Talmor He was kind of a very familiar character, kind of like the big melee heavy barbarian that like goes in, does stuff without thinking. It was really easy to play. He turned out to be super fun, but you know, that was with Helen, I put in a lot of work in like developing this character, and with him being so old and thinking about like, you know, there's 200 years of character development and what that does, and kind of like, it's with only being like 13 episodes in, it's there's a lot more to come with Helen, and I'm more excited for what's to come with Helen than I was with Talmor, because Talmor's backstory ended in like one of two ways. It was gonna be, you know, it theoretically could still potentially be, you know, something different from what I thought it was gonna be, but the when I developed him, it was either gonna be this way or this way, and one of those ways wasn't very good. With Helen, there's a lot of layers and a lot of complexity with the character, and I like playing him more just because of the prospect of what he could be later down the line. So I have to go with Helen.
Is it me?
Yeah.
I prefer Helen and Jensen to Jerry and Talmor, definitely. Because they just... I like Jensen being like a trashy bum, and the fact that he's just... I don't really know much about him, but I think that's kind of the point. Like, he plays everything real close to his chest, and no one really knows anything about Jensen apart from the fact that he's this kind of moody guy who kind of follows us around a bit and sometimes says something. But quite often what he says isn't what I expect, which I quite like. So I'm quite interested to know what's his deal. But I like the fact that he's also just a trashy bum. That's cool. Helen, I prefer to Talmor because Helen is a bit more like just free and easy. But at the same time, I feel like maybe he's free and easy because he's kind of been there and done there and he's done it, and he's kind of a little bit jaded, which I find quite interesting. Like, rather than being like this passive character, I think because sometimes Helen comes across quite passive, but I actually don't think it is. I think it's more the fact that you've seen, like you said, you're 200 years old, so in a sense, nothing really is that big of a deal because you've kind of done it, and I find that quite fascinating, and I'd quite like to see where that's going to go, because obviously you've got a lot of experience as well to bring things in which are going to be quite a surprise. Plus you're quite handy, I guess, for like lore and stuff like that. But yeah, like, I quite like that. Like you know, when we're walking through the narrows and that, and you just get your tattoo out, and it's like, you know, life is almost like you're kind of a bit jaded and a bit bored of it, and it's like you're kind of trying to kind of make it more interesting for yourself sometimes, and other times you're quite passive, and it's, yeah, I get the feeling it's because you just can't be bothered with life because you've been there for 200 years.
Yeah, that's
exactly, I like that. I think that's really interesting. And out of Bow and Nim, to be honest, I think they're actually really similar. I'd walk myself into a corner. I prefer Nim's backstory because I really like Nim's backstory. There was like quite a lot of room for interest there, and Bow doesn't really have much of a backstory that I know of, because between me and John, we've kind of left it a little bit volatile and open. So we're kind of like, there's like a backbone, but I didn't really flesh it out as heavily as I did with Nim. But the thing I did with Nim is I walked into a corner where I think Nim would have got quite close to Bo in the whole chaos idea, but it was going to take him a long time to get there, because I'd put him in a position where he had to be this kind of like miserable, standoffish, kind of quite boring guy. at first, and I had to develop him into the character he was. I wanted him to be, whereas in a sense, Bo is the character that I wanted to be straight away. And Bo is also kind of pedal to the metal, like he takes that concept to the extreme. In the sense, like Nim couldn't probably go as far, or anywhere near as far as Bo can go, because Bo's always got that kind of out of being a little bit of a nutcase. So the creativity is endless, because you can, things don't really have to make sense. Like ideas don't really have to have any logical conclusions or foundations, because you can just go, yeah, but I'm a bit of a nutcase, so to me it makes sense. Like, as long as I can justify it, I can do what I want, which is really fun. Yeah, because I've only got to justify it to, in terms of Bo's world, which is pretty psychedelic. So yeah, I probably prefer Bo, but I don't think they would have been that different in the end. I think Nim would have been a bit more restrained, but he would have had a more kind of, I was very interested in his backstory. He's a bit more grounded, but yeah, so I don't really mind. I enjoy them both, but probably I prefer Bo, because he's a bit more like, I say, I can just do what I want with him.
We do have a Patreon question real fast too, and I like this one. Dismo Ninja asks, how much personal experience was poured into the scenes?
Too much.
I thought that was a good question.
Too much.
Yeah, a lot.
Too much.
I think we actually had a conversation at one point of like, yeah, this all makes sense. We've all been in a situation like this. Like, let's go find the drunk friend.
Yeah.
Wait, did Jordan answer the question?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll make it quick. I pick Helen over Talmor. Talmor's too headstrong for me. He just got an idea in his head, and he like rammed his head into the wall against whatever problem he had. Between Bo and Nim, I'm going to be the odd man out. I'm going to say I liked Nim more than Bo, just because I knew what Nim was thinking. Like, I could be like, okay, yeah, that's kind of crazy, but I know why he's doing it. With Bo, I have no idea. I'm pretty sure you smoke something before you come on every day to come up with some of the ideas you do. Playing Jensen Jerry, it's a tough one. I think Jensen's more complicated, as you guys have alluded to. Jerry was pretty straightforward as just kind of a goody two-shoes wizard. But I had, like, pretty fun plans for a high-level wizard. But that could have been any wizard. It didn't have to be Jerry. So I think I like Jensen a little more. He's a little more unique than just Shadow Monk. Move on to the next question, then?
Sure.
Alright. How do you think the game structure of D&D has impacted your storytelling?
I'm assuming this is for me.
Probably. Think so?
I would assume so.
I'm not really, I mean, in terms of storytelling, I'd say it probably has given me some vague rules that things have to follow. Right, the story can, the story has been the story. I really haven't let the rules get in the way of that. And sometimes the rules I kind of toss out the window from here or there. So I'd say that the game structure hasn't really impacted how I do storytelling. Except when it's like I have you guys do roles for certain things. Like, oh, yeah, no, you can't unlock that door. Or, no, that's something I haven't. Like, ones and twenties I find interesting and fun. But, things are going to happen one way or another. You guys are going to find one way around it. It's just whichever route you take is going to have consequences or more consequences.
What about the players as well? Dismal is amending the question. Do any of the players think that there's been the structure which pushes you to a certain direction?
Can't really say, because D&D is really the only kind of thing I've done.
No, I min-max my characters and then build their personality around it. So
I do the opposite. I'm like, let's build a personality, and I'm going to find an archetype that'll fit.
I think the game mechanics have changed it a little bit, but it's sort of interesting in the sense of, like, if you want to do something with the character, like, say, Jordan and I wanted to become drunken master monks, like,
let's just say there are mechanics
that we can do that with if we work with John. Let's just say, yeah, you know, hypothetically. And also, like, occasionally you have this idea for a character and you're, you know, what your personality type's going to be and stuff and what you're going to do, and then something happens, like, oh, I don't know, a legendary staff of a monkey king gets dropped on you and you're like, oh, well, this doesn't match the personality type that I had at all. How does this change me and what does it do? And things like that happen occasionally. It's kind of interesting if you're staying true to, like, the RP side more so than the mechanic side of the game.
Right.
I think that we tend to do that as well, is stick more with role-playing and sort of let the game mechanics fall to the background, except for, like, punch versus punch type stuff.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
All right. For the next one, what was our inspiration for the semi-in-fiction advertisements that we do? For the ones I did, I just thought they were hilarious.
Yeah, I think mostly it was, you know, we were working with sponsors that were very prominent in our gaming niche or our podcast niche, where, you know, you have Easy Roller and Wormwood and at a time Die Hard Dice, and I think we had Dice Bard for a while, like, you know, these different kind of specific game specific sponsors that a lot of other podcasts have. But what we wanted to do is differentiate ourselves in a sense from the rest of those podcasts, and one of the ways we thought was to do these in-game or canon ads of just, like, these weird, like, little things. Or the when we did the Kickstarter side quest episode, it was just kind of like, how can we promote this without, like, hey, go to this link and click this and do this?
So it's the problem with podcast adverts is they're repetitive, because it's just the nature of them, really. It's the nature of any advertising, isn't it? Like, I mean, that's the point. Be repetitive.
Yeah. And it, when you're in an audio media like we are, it's just like, we have a link that is a discount code for this, and it gets you this with this company.
You can't even get a sexy lady bending over a car or something.
And it's just the same thing.
Sell it.
Yeah. Yeah. Regardless of what niche it's in, what subject, what, you know, what kind of podcast, and if it has a sponsor, the ads usually flow something like that. And so we just wanted to do something different and fun and goofy. So,
and, like, they're also just 1,000,000% more fun to record than me sitting here and saying, "All right, guys, there's a code, there's a URL, check the description, click on it."
Yeah,
it's more fun to think about, like, how would Ordok sell something?
The problem with, like, podcasts and advertising in general is exactly that. They're just, like, this boring one way street. But I think a lot of people don't realize, like, they're super integral, so you kind of need to do them. But, you know, I read a lot on the internet of forums, like Reddits and stuff, of people that for listening to podcasts, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and you see often a lot of people who don't create podcasts complain about adverts and stuff in podcasts. And it's like, I get it, because I listen to a lot of podcasts too, and the adverts are a shit show. But when the shoe's on the other foot, it's not so. It's something you just have to do. So just try.
With this show, with this show, it's a little different because we have kind of a larger team, and you know, we're in a kind of area that, you know, provides us a little leeway with our ads. But, like, you know, with other shows, like, you know, the single shows that we produce, or, you know, the kind of stuff that you guys listen to, that doesn't have that, where it's just like, this is company X, and
you know, it's just like Ben said, it's just it's integral.
You just got to make the best of it. Do you know what I mean? Like we just the best of what you're given, really.
Yeah.
And hope that the company's forgiving enough or allows you to have that creative freedom to say things instead of being too strict.
Yeah.
Like, I think because everyone knows, like, you know, like as the creators, you know as much, and because we all listen to podcasts as well, we all know that listening to adverts is not fun. So, you know, like as when you make it for yourself, you know that it's, you know, you're trying to make the best of it you can, really.
I think that's that.
I have a really quick question from another one of the, well, from Avalanche Surfer. It'll be a fast answer, I'm sure. Hey, Helen, are you going to take another level?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck no. No. let me tell you something right here. Rogues are a useless fucking class, and anybody that prefers to play them isn't a real D&D player. Moving on.
Ouch.
Moving on.
Ouch.
That's why it's bad, Helen.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. John, this question's for you. Was it always the plan to start the season in Ironclad? And if not, how much to tell more break your plans?
It was a plan to start one of the arcs in Ironclad. I didn't think it was going to be this soon. The choice that Talmor made, I had to go back and probably, I'd say our arc one was probably going to be double what length it was, because there was a few more things I wanted to tidy up, but the way it ended, and like, okay, the only logical place to go next would be Ironclad for medical reasons, Talmor, Orodok, and I think it gave us a lot more options, so was not the plan to start arc two in Ironclad. I thought it would slowly progress there to maybe season or arc three or arc four. I'm kind of happy that we're there already, because I think it's a lot more. It's a port for a reason. The story can go in a lot more different directions from this point than others.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, Avalanche Surfer also asked if they wanted to listen to the music that we use in the podcast, where could they do that?
Did we not upload it?
That's a really fair question.
the music we don't do we use? I mean, other than our theme song and our ad song,
there's
right?
Like the intro music.
Well, we had music for every character episode.
Like the kind of creepy kind of plinky blonky bit.
The intro is awesome,
and then there's our intro music, and then there's that the app music,
the theme song.
The site shut down actually, but I've got them on my hard drive. We could upload them.
I downloaded them. We'll post them up on our Discord. I mean, they're just like snippets, basically. They're a few minutes long. They're not like actual songs.
Probably
really.
Get the full tracks online too, like on the website.
Yeah, we'll toss them up on the website and create more work for Kyle as he's building it. But they'll be on the website when we release the new one. So we'll get them up there.
All right. Next question. Orodok, how does it feel to be home, even if it is the future?
I don't think Orodok's had enough time to really process anything. he's a man who lives a mission, and so I think it's been fun, because initially coming back to Ironclad, I was worried about myself, but as I have been in Ironclad, Orodok has become more concerned about external factors, and I'm going to leave it intentionally vague, because I'm sure that we're going to get into that. But I think that the time jump, honestly, I think helped him move more freely through Ironclad, because we're starting to see people from his past like peek in a little bit. But there is like a reasonable distance there that is easier to play with than had it been a couple of years after he left. So I think the time jump as a player is much easier to deal with than as a character it would be to process what's happened to you, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talmor, do barbarians dream of Nim Sheep? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They do.
All right. What would Helen think of Drids from the Forgotten Realms novels? I think I said that right. Have you read the Forgotten Realms novels?
Forgotten Realms novels. I don't read. So
he's a I'm drow, sure... but he's a good drow, right?
Oh.
Not really yeah. sure.
The two scimitars.
He probably wouldn't like him then. Just preliminary. If it's how would Helen feel about anyone, it's probably just gonna be not gonna like him.
Bo, who in the current group would give you the most power if you ate them?
I'm thinking like probably Ordok, but like what about Helen's knowledge? Can I get all of Helen's knowledge if I ate him? Would I like
I mean, Goshen's being influenced.
Yeah, but there's
by
200
deity,
years
though.
Of knowledge right, in that brain that I could eat.
Yeah, but if you read my backstory with as much as I've written it out,
a lot of it was in jail.
Years you probably don't want. And like a quarter of it, I was in a.
Yeah, it's like Ordok of Goshen, probably, that I'd eat first. Yeah.
Holy power.
That's almost comforting. Maybe.
Almost.
That's sweet, I guess.
Also, Ben, how do you come up with your crazy character concepts? No. Do you have a process?
Now, do you know what? Bo is like started out completely different to how he is now. Bo started out as like I had this idea of like just like a kind of quite like standard witch doctor. And then it's like really evolved over time because then when we picked the Darrow race, I kind of found out that they're all insane. So that kind of kicked him along a little bit. Oh, go on, Gretchen.
Wait, Bo, I remember you talking about the Witch Doctor. Bo
yeah,
is what
yeah.
the Witch Doctor turned into?
Yeah.
So we changed
quite a lot of the names of the spells and stuff that I've come up with. Yeah, because it's just sort of flavor, really. So we changed quite a lot of them to be fitting more to Bo's character rather than like just a generic witch doctor. Because the witch doctor was almost like the first kind of step. And then I picked Bo, and once I picked a Darrow, I kind of evolved him along those lines. And then I basically did a podcast episode on Springhill Jack, and now I'm kind of obsessed on the idea of turning into this like crazy witch doctory Springhill Jack nutcase,
which is a really good episode of plug of Dark Histories podcast done by Ben. Go check that out if you haven't.
But yeah, he's like if you don't know Springhill Jack, he's like this Victorian folklore urban legend kind of guy who had springs on his shoes and didn't really do much, just kind of like jumped out and scared people and was sort of slightly mental. And so Bo's... But I think I just get ideas and then I just roll with it because, I mean, the one I'm on at the moment is I'm hell-bent on getting like robot shark teeth. So I'm not sure where that comes from. I mean, what was it that I put in Discord the other day, how I want to summon Nim as an undead sentry and then... jump along rooftops as a goat and then come down and turn into a human or Darrow again and start biting people with robot shark teeth. Like, I don't know. And I just... It's the thing with Bo is, like, because he's so crazy, you can get away with really just... There's no real boundaries other than the fact that he's a bit stupid and a lot of the times I can't ask questions I would like to ask because I know that he wouldn't... You know, sometimes you just have to go along with him because you can't break the character just to ask a question that might satisfy my own curiosity or might make the situation a bit better. But otherwise, like, yeah, he's pretty free and easy. So you've got, like, no boundaries, really. It's pretty psychedelic, though, isn't he?
All right.
That's a way to put it.
Somebody wants to know, what was my ultimate plan with Jerry? I think I hinted it, and I might have just straight up said it at one point. I was going to open the planes back up. And I guess I did it. Hey, Master Wizard.
I think you had some help with that plan. we'll let you take all the credits since you died.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, no, ultimately with Jerry, aside from some cool, like, wizard side things I wanted to do, it was going to be either, like, opening the planes, and if I couldn't do that, trying to allow other people to. Like, I knew that I could conjure things, and that was weird. Why was it just me? So I was going to see if I could figure out why I could do it, and then spread that to other people, or see if I could make it accessible again.
Was Jerry, like, actually a bad guy, or was his, like, kind of innocent, naive...
You guys all keep saying that opening the planes is a bad idea. I honestly think it had to happen.
See, yeah, because I couldn't ever work out if Jerry's kind of naive country bumpkin was just his kind of act, or if he actually genuinely was, like, a bit simple.
Well, he was low wisdom, high int.
It's a real book smart, not so much street smart.
But yeah, Jerry honestly believed that he needed to open the planes again because the world was dying.
Fair enough. I see it.
Is the realization that Jensen's in the same boat as these guys because of their debts make me hate them or understand them more? I don't think Jensen sees it that way. I don't think Jensen and Helen are really in debt to the syndicate, because they would have asked us, they would have told us to do this anyways, regardless of if we screwed up. We work for them. They're our bosses.
We're employees. So, it would have been assigned to someone eventually, but it just so happened that we screwed up on the right day. So I don't know that, you know, we're in the same boat, but we all have motivation behind what we're doing, other than just like, hey, we're in the syndicate, we have to do this.
Right. We owed them just as much as if they would have given us another job.
Yeah.
Guys, what boat are we in? I don't know what you're talking about.
These guys are just suckers we scammed.
Yeah. We scammed them hard.
I have a shiny new leg. Who got the better end of the deal out of this?
I mean, really, if you're thinking, like, literally, you probably shouldn't get in the boat because of how heavy your leg is. You might not be able to swim, so.
Can't be any worse than the chainmail I'm no longer wearing.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, spoilers? I think that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, I think it was mentioned at least.
Okay, Goshen. The staff of the Monkey King has altered Goshen's personality pretty drastically. Does Goshen worry about losing himself, or does he embrace it?
As a character, embrace it. I think... So the justification there is, like, I think Goshen does as well, but it's because... I can't say too much of the giving away the backstory, but in the one episode way back when Goshen and Talmor got in a fight because of the mind-altering magic, there's some stuff in Goshen's backstory linked to, like, that specific sort of magic or that school of magic, and I can't say much else with that. He just likes having something that's giving him a direction or an anchor point, which might give a little bit away, but yeah, I think he embraces it pretty wholeheartedly. It's almost like,
are you speaking of the fight where Goshen took an axe to the stomach?
That was Jerry's fault.
I believe I tried to stop you guys from fighting. And I held up my part. I stopped one of two.
This is what you did.
You mounted him perfectly so that I could cut him in half.
Yeah. So I remember that, but yeah, no, I think he embraces it. He's Plus. Using it kind of like a crutch or something, like a literal crutch, something you would use while you're in a healing process.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Season 3 in Atlantis?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am going to make that happen.
Without a doubt. We're going to Atlantis. That's a thing. Oh, dude, we just got to get these portals working.
Just need
man.
To blow up Ironclad first, another gate. And then we'll be there.
It's probably down there somewhere.
But there were those holes that it's went into nowhere. Well, they, I, that's all right. Spoilers. It's not really giving spoilers? Anything away.
Like, come on, Ben. We just played that today. Of course they wouldn't know about it.
What, you we haven't published that? We it's just recorded an hour ago.
Like because no one knows. Ago.
Come on.
Oh.
I don't remember where all the map points were. Did Goshen take a... I think Goshen jotted something down, right?
Yeah, I think we have like a rudimentary map. We just need to get the keys and basically get them working.
Yeah.
So
you guys know where one set of keys are.
Oh yeah we do. We gotta go back for them.
Yeah, we need to do that ASAP because I want to.
With that thing that happened works. In the Twitter thing.
Yeah, it might.
Oh, we found out before when we were talking to William.
Yeah, we knew the whole time. We just kept ignoring it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For other things.
That's speech that happens.
Speaking
that
of
cave
the Twitter
is gonna
thing.
Be hellacious when we get to it.
It's gonna be real bad.
I got a question. For you, Jonathan. I almost called you Jonathan. I know your name's not Jonathan. What the fuck? We went from we went from ritual sacrifice to being a little kitty cat. Where is that? You, like, where is that going?
Are you caught up through yesterday?
Yeah,
I don't think
well,
I looked
yeah,
at yesterday.
Yeah, I mean the demons and whatnot, but still, it's just like, where was that shift? Like, I don't. It doesn't seem like the two are connected.
No, all these NPC stories are not connected in the slightest.
Oh,
it's just to
see.
Show what else is going on in the world at large.
Mm, I don't buy it. I think we were sacrificed and turned into a demon.
Storyline.
No, these are... That's why when I have them listed as moments in Twitter, they're NPC 1, NPC 2. Because I had a small list of what I was going to do for the next one, for the cat. For Sasha, and one of them was either going to be in New Galen in the west, or is going to be servant in the Southern Kingdom in the Sultan's Palace.
There you go, folks. You heard it first here. Keep voting to see where this shit goes.
Yeah, right.
Also, if you need to catch up, check out the moments on John's profile.
Yeah, on the Twitter. We'll link that on the website and on the socials and stuff like that, so you guys can jump right to that and catch right up.
I have been seeing a lot more Choose Your Own Adventures on Twitter from various other D&D groups.
Right, yeah, it's become a thing. Your trendsetter.
Copycats.
They're like, one of that, they had like 400 votes. I'm like, I get like 25. How do you get so many?
Someone needs to kill that dog.
I think I'm all out of questions here.
That dog is beautiful.
That dog is... I'm going to have to cut that out of the recording. That dog is extra work. That's what that dog
Just
is.
Just mute me for a while. It's fine. All right, guys. Any other questions? Twitch chat? Discord chat?
Wait for the delay.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the drawing to close.
Pretty good. Yeah, we just another like real quick thank you again to the patrons. They're the patrons, patrons. That doesn't sound right.
Patrons.
Patrons, the patrons from Patreon, you guys make this shit happen, and we appreciate it. Like I said, we got a lot of cool stuff coming between bonus content, new stuff on the Threadless Shop, new stuff on the Discord and the community.
speaking of the community, I wanted to say it out loud. Gotsu on our Discord chat, the fan art.
Yeah, that was amazing.
They've been doing over there. Holy shit, that's awesome!
Really cool. Really
super
cool.
It's duper good.
Background on my desktop.
Yeah, so keep that up. Draw the more important characters, not the not important ones.
Wow.
It's everyone but Helen.
No, but I wanted to say that kind of publicly. Like, thank you for doing that. That means so much, and they're so cool. And so if you haven't checked that out, we'll also put those on our website, and they're on our social media and our Discord. But again, just our community is growing fairly rapidly, and we have a lot of stuff like kind of planned for the new year, and stuff like that. And we'll keep announcing it as we go. So
happy days.
Yeah. Thank you guys, all of you.
Yeah. Thanks guys.
Thanks. Thank you. Sorry, I was typing to someone in our Discord channel. As we were speaking. It was our community. It was being good. Thank you.
All right, boys and girls, we're going to call it until next time. So, wait. Who's going to say
latest potatoes?
that's not it. That's not it.
See you guys next time.
Latest potatoes. Time. That should be the new one.
Bye. Latest potatoes.
Thank you.